Well, good morning, everyone. It is a fine, beautiful day today. Hard to believe we're getting towards the end of summer. And I know many of you have been in and out visiting your northern homes, your camps and places, and being able to get out and about, and that's a wonderful thing to do. I'm sure, though, in the midst of all your activities, you also keep up to date with what's been going on out there in the world. And we have concerns about Charlottesville and Barcelona, let alone our own situations, things that are going on in our own households and relationships with people. As beautiful as today can be, for some people, it's not so beautiful because they hurt. And that's one of the things that we remember as a community. We gather together and we keep them in prayer, and we also share an empathy with them. That is, that we bear their burdens with them. We don't just let them out there, hanging out there on their own. At least I hope we don't do that. So we try to do our best to reach out and to care as well as we can. Mark Twain once said that if you're going to fish for love, fish with your heart and not with your brain. Too often we think too much. Now I know by using our hearts, we can get ourselves into trouble that way, all right? We become vulnerable. We take risks when we do that, because what you want to do, your brain rationalizes. It begins to say, you know, if I deal with a certain person and the history has been, it's been this way and they do these things, and I don't want to get myself tied up into that. Understood. But there's still something that Jesus calls us to use our hearts that we may reach out to others. It's not so easy. That's one of the things that I think the disciples really struggled with Jesus, because, you know, they're thinking in one area and he's really there to talk about the love of God, and it runs in a way that just turns everything upside down. And the disciples can't quite get it. They don't get the fact that, you know, this woman is after Jesus, saying her daughter is tormented by a demon and she wants to be healed, but she's not even a Jew. And they say to him, get her out of here because she's disturbing us. She keeps shouting at us. You know, there's a similar story with Paul, remember, and the woman who follows him around. And finally, he just tells her to shut up and he heals her. All too often, when we have occasions like that, we become frightened, and we want to step away from it. C.S. Lewis once talked about, he actually wrote a paper on what was called the inner circle. And really what it's about relationships, and it's about how we as human beings kind of form our own inner circle of individuals that we know and we associate with. In fact, if I were to do something, and I'm not going to do this to you because I know it just drives people crazy, but if I told you I want you to get into small groups, my guess is that some of you would automatically kind of focus in towards those that you know really well. And there would always be somebody outside of that circle. Now, it's human nature, and we have limitations. It's impossible for us to be able to be close to everyone. That's just not humanly possible. It's very difficult. I mean, it would take a lot. But what C.S. Lewis says about that inner circle thing is that while that's understandable and that there are people that will be outside the circle, for those who are outside the circle, sometimes it's very hurtful. And when they see somebody less worthy than them that are invited in the circle, that also makes it very difficult. But he says what's bad about it is that the moment that we're in the inner circle and we become to the point that we think that we cannot include anyone else, that we become exclusive, that we feel that we have gotten as far as we can, or that we begin to worry about whether they're going to keep including us into the inner circle, and we worry about that, and we worry about our relationships with the inner circle, that's when things begin to fall apart. Because in reality, it's really about God's love. You've heard me say it, and you'll hear me say it again and again and again. But when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and one of the hardest things for us to understand is that it's not about us. It's not about us. And now you could say, well, Pastor Dave, but Jesus died for me. And that's correct. But he died not just for you, but for all. Did you hear the words from even Isaiah that spoke about how foreigners are welcome as well? Did you hear how Paul spoke in Romans about even those who were disobedient were welcomed into the family of God? Did you hear Jesus, when he speaks to the Canaanite woman, you saw a side of Jesus that you normally don't see, it's a hard side to face. He was serious about the fact that he knew what he was called to do. He was called to speak to the lost children of Israel. That was his first part of his mission. He wasn't ready for this message to get out beyond that. But, you know, God works in amazing ways. And this woman, who was an enemy of Israel, she was a Canaanite. These were the people whose land the Israelites had occupied. This was the promised land. And this woman represented all that the Israelites hated, all that they, you know, they were the dogs. And yet it is this woman who calls him Lord. And in Matthew, when she addresses, or anyone addresses Jesus as Lord, it's to recognize him as actually the Son of God. And she goes beyond that. She says, Lord, Son of David. This woman knew what she was talking about. And she wouldn't let Jesus off the hook. And Jews in those days honored witty conversation. If you were able to best somebody in a conversation with wit and bring to a conclusion that drew your side into it, everybody respected you. And that's exactly what this woman did. It's the only place in the Gospels we see this happens. When he says, you know, I've only been called to the people of Israel, and then she talks about the fact that even dogs eat the crumbs from the table, Jesus was amazed. Her persistence, her desire to know this God and to know that God provided this son to give her something that she knew, and it wasn't even for her, it was for her daughter, to relieve her of this demon. And Jesus' response is to go, your faith has made you well. Now, mind you, it's Jesus that does the healing. And we can be in great admiration of this woman's faith and the fact that she has persisted. And I think sometimes we tend to want to give up too quickly, especially when we're faced with adversity, when we're faced with things like Charlottesville or things like Barcelona, where terrorism is prevalent in Europe and it's prevalent here. We just don't see it for what it is. When we see people speaking in a certain way that we know runs contrary to the gospel, we need to be persistent against it. And that's where the power of God comes into play. And it doesn't mean that we respond violence for violence. What we respond with is God's loving presence. The ability to forgive even those who have spoken harshly to us or who have said things that are not kind. Even people who might spit at you or do whatever it is to get you riled up so that you might respond in a way that will allow them to come and attack you. I like that saying, Mark Twain, and you know, when you want to fish for love, fish with your heart. Because my brain would tell me, run, run, run away, go away. But if we run away, evil persists and evil wins. You and I have a great and powerful gift. And I think sometimes we forget how powerful it is. We forget about how Jesus has given us the ability to live again, that Jesus has forgiven us over and over and over and over again. We forget about the power of what love can do to another person. Is it Paul that says about the fact that when you respond to people that are run contrary or are unbelievers, to just heap burning coals of God's love upon their heads? And so you pray and you pray and you pray. You know, sometimes when we have been parts of a congregation for a long time, especially for our older parishioners, a lot of times they begin to feel helpless as to what can they do because their eyesight isn't as good, their hands don't work as well, you just don't have the energy. I was talking to my friend who lives in California last night. He's my childhood friend, and we've, over all these years, 60 years that we've known each other, we keep in touch, and our mothers are still alive. His mother is from New Caledonia. She was a war bride that came home with her father, and they were married, and she spoke French. And it was always fun to go visit my friend Marty. She was such a wonderful hostess, and you know, we'd always get root beer, Kool-Aid, or popsicles or something, whenever we visited the Marty's house, and she would speak to us with that kind of a broken English initially, and she got very good at it. But then she and Marty would start speaking in French, and it was like, what? You know, what are you saying? Tell us. But my point here is that love persists and continue to bind people together all their life. And God's love does that very same thing, only it never shakes loose because of an argument or because of something that may be a falling out. It's not the same as with family members who have, you know, struggle in understanding each other and sometimes move apart or you know, they don't have any relationship, there's no conversation. I understand, and that's very painful. But the one thing that has kept me going through all that time has been God's love in my life. And there are moments that I've wanted to give up too, that I've wanted to run away in the moments of my own divorce and thinking, how can I serve as a pastor when my own life is broken? And to have other pastors and my boss when I was at the nursing home saying to me, oh no, you're gaining a valuable lesson here that others need to hear. Your witness is just as important now as it was before. Because of their persistence with me, I am here today. Because of God's persistence in my life, I am here today. And I've learned not to run away from it, but hopefully to be able to grapple with it and understand how it is that I got to that place and what I did wrong and what happened in my life and how I can learn from that and to grow stronger. And that God would ease any bitterness that I might hold. Same thing for all of us. When we hear of these hateful things that are going on in the world, indeed, we should, you know, just say, no, this is no place for this. Evil is not a part of this life in the sense of what God wants us to be. Unfortunately, it is a reality. But for you and I, we have a power that can overcome that. For after all, when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, we speak of the fact that, you know, he basically conquered sin, death, and the very presence of evil so that you and I don't have to worry about those things. For God will keep you in his love. We may lose our life. That risk is always there. But we will not lose our relationship with God. God will empower us for what needs to be done today and tomorrow and the next. Don't be afraid. do what God has asked you to do. And love, that's the biggest risk of all. Amen.